Let's find out what's been making news this week with Tony Allen. And Tony, it's been quite a week, drought, floods, fires, but if farmers think they're going to get the same sort of drought assistance they've been used to, they've apparently got Buckley's.
Yes, it's been one of those natural disaster weeks, and the drought is continuing even though there's a lot of rain coming across the country at the moment. The Prime Minister Tony Abbott and the Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce this weekend are doing a bit of a drought tour to look at the drought affected regions in parts of New South Wales and Queensland. Now, Mr. Joyce is putting together a drought support proposal for farmers to go to Cabinet in a few weeks. As we've discussed before, there is no official drought policy in Australia at the moment, as yet. There's a lot of nostalgia among farmers to bring back the old system, the exceptional circumstances system, which included loan subsidies. But Mr. Joyce, while he won't say what's in his proposed package, he says reintroducing this exceptional circumstances system, which was quite controversial, is highly unlikely.
At its peak, it cost the nation about $770 million a year, so it's expensive. Now, the states also have to put their hand in their pocket to pay some of it, and so you have to get the states and the federal government all lined up on one page wanting to reintroduce it. And I'll be honest with you, you've got Buckley's and none of that happening.
Oh dear. Well, the NFF, the National Farmers Federation, has its own list.
Yes, we've known what's in this for a while, but it has formally released this week. It's drought support wish list. Some of the things in it are easier access to income support and concessional loans and farm management deposits. It wants support for wages to keep workers on farms rather than have them go off elsewhere to work and leave the community, and various social and health programs for communities in drought. And Labor has offered bipartisan support for this, and the agriculture spokesman Joel Fitzgibbon says the NFF's proposal should be introduced immediately.
The NFF plan is a good plan. It's comprehensive. It's consistent with what I've been saying now 4 weeks. The question is, what's the government waiting for? This plan put forward does not involve an extraordinary amount of money. Indeed, would only go part way to restoring the sort of drought funding we were seeing flow under exceptional circumstances.
And while we're drought policy-less, the drought continues to travel further south.
Yes, it's now reached the state's New South Wales mid-north coast, which is renowned as a wet area. And it's one of those areas when it's in drought everywhere else, it's still raining there. But no, some farmers are hand-feeding their dairy cows and milk production has fallen. Irrigation is being restricted. A dairy farmer from Wingham, Steve German, says he's selling heifers to buy feed, but to get that feed, the loosened hay, the price has nearly doubled to $500 a tonne.
Without rain, it looks like we will go into the hardest winter on record. Lack of feed, nowhere we can buy feeds, reserve feeds now, because they've just gone through the roof and what's left around is very scarce.
There are fodder shortages further south as well, but because of the fires.
Yes, some farmers were frustrated this week after the Victorian bushfires, a big area north of Melbourne, which contains not just a lot of hobby farms, but sheep grazing and orchards and all sorts of things has been damaged by the fires. The stock losses are higher than were expected. About 7,000 sheep and more than 400 cows died on one property alone at a place called Darrawheat Gwim. And what was very frustrating was that the farmers wanted to get the feed in and they couldn't because the roads were blocked for safety reasons. Tom Syme is another farmer at Darrawheat Gwim. He kept his animals. They survived, but he lost a hay shed and pastures and fences. And he said he had an offer for hay, but no one could get into his property to deliver it.
Since Sunday, they haven't had anything to eat. You try and organise a truck to come and take some cattle away, maybe to a sale or to adjustment, and they can't get in. My thoughts are, if I can get someone who can bring this load of hay up for me on the truck, it's a fairly hard-hearted policeman that won't let it come down the road when there's absolutely no danger of any fire now.
Yeah, well, the policeman did become rather soft-hearted after the Premier himself intervened after some complaints from the farmers, and the Country Fire Authority did reopen most of those roads that were considered not to be at fire risk.
Of course, it wasn't just Victoria that had fires. There were shocking fires in South Australia as well.
Yes, well, they're hoping that the rain that's been pretty much record rain for Adelaide in the last couple of days is going to put out that Bengal fire in the southern Flinders Ranges. That had been burning for a month. Now, the beekeepers across South Australia are also victims of the fires. because the fires have destroyed more than 200 feeding sites for bees, and some of these sites had only just recovered from bushfires up to 7 years ago. The Bangor area is one of those areas, and Warrabra apiarist Tony Tenney says the Bangor fire wiped out a lot of pollinating trees.
It's some of the biggest grey box country in South Australia. Well, it's virtually wiped 85% of that out. It's gone. Never see it again. It's a eucalyptus. It's a fairly heavy tree for honey production, and when it really wants to yield, it can yield very lot of good honey, but at the now it's just sticks on the ground.
And you mentioned earlier flooding rains in South Australia. Wineries are worried about it.
Yes, after weeks of extreme heat, we've now got the flooding rains, just as the poem told us. Heavy rain has fallen in the Adelaide Hills, which is very important for fruit, vegetables and wine. And Richard Hamilton, a wine grape consultant, says the conditions in the vineyards are now perfect for that nasty fungal infection, botrytis.
I live in the Adelaide Hills and we've had over 80 millimetres in the last 24 hours. We're actually thinking that any spores developing are being washed away. However, this rain will stop, and if the humidity remains and there are cracks and splits and bird damage, etc., then the rot will have a chance to establish.
In fact, these rains started in Western Australia up north and were very damaging around the Ord as well.
Well, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage has been done to the Ord irrigation area. Various irrigation channels have been wrecked, equipment's been blocked up. They do big numbers up there. 500 millimetres of rain over 4 days caused widespread flooding. It's just their wet season, really, but it's worse than usual. And melon grower Matt Gray is one of those affected. He's still assessing the cost of damages to his property.
I'd hate to think at this stage if we have to get all the paddocks done, could run into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we won't jump the gun just yet. We'll wait and fix the channels up, work the paddocks for this year and see how their water travels through them and analyse it from there.
Now, harvest is over across the country, the summer wheat harvest, and it's been a huge harvest in WA.
Yes, well, just before we leave talk of the weather, it has had a very big impact on the crop production of what we call winter crops, that is the ones planted in winter, grown in summer. This includes wheat, barley, canola and so on. Western Australia had a really good season and it was up 55% on last year, the biggest ever harvest of 17 million tonnes. That brought the national harvest to the second biggest on record. South Australia also had a good season. I know we think about the heat wave, but the spring and winter in South Australia was very good for farming. They had good rains at the right times. So the national production of crops like wheat, barley and canola should hit about 44 million tonnes. But the story is, of course, that there is a drought divide. Victorian production remained flat, really didn't change from the previous year. Queensland is down 20%, New South Wales was down 14%, and they're also expecting a difficult season for the summer crops, the ones planted in summer like cotton, sorghum and rice, and they could be down about 25%. But it does depend a bit on what happens in the next few months with rain.
Now, coming up on A Country Breakfast, we're going to be looking at the bailout of SPC Ardmona by the Victorian Government. In the meantime, though, its plight has actually inspired consumers to buy SPC products.
It's amazing what a bit of publicity will do. And SPC Ardmona, I know you'll give all the details later on, but when it was trying to get federal government assistance, it failed in that, but the publicity and the appeals from the people of Shepparton and the local MPs and so on to buy SPC Ardmona did work. 50% sales up in the last fortnight, which is rather remarkable, and the people of Shepparton are thanking Australian consumers for hoeing into the two fruits and the tin tomatoes and not buying those cheap imports. And Ian Harrison of the Australia Made campaign says it just shows consumers now realise they've got to support local businesses.
People have realised that if they don't go and buy some Australian produce produced by SPC Ardmona in this case, then the reality is that company could fail, just like we've seen in the automotive industries and we're seeing in companies every day at the moment. So it is critical that the consumers get behind good Aussie product and great Aussie produce.
Mind you, some of the food analysts are saying that the sympathy vote is not going to last very long, and it really depends on what the supermarkets do, because they're the ones that are selling the 70-cent tin tomatoes and so on, and they need to get behind SPC Ardmona and the other local processors as well.
It doesn't seem that long ago that we were reporting about the possibilities of ethanol as a fuel. Well, it doesn't seem to be faring too well.
No, ethanol is starting to fizzle despite the encouragement from its proponents like Bob Catter. There was a report by the Bureau of Resources and Energy Economics that's really put the kibosh on ethanol. It's raised doubts about the effectiveness of the $100 million a year subsidy for ethanol. The scheme was introduced by the Howard government back in 2002. This report found the ethanol production grants program produced few economic, environmental or consumer benefits. Basically, it said it didn't do anything. And that has prompted some speculation that the scheme may be axed in the May budget because, as we know, the federal government is looking for savings. The chairman of Cane Growers Queensland, Paul Skembry, is very concerned. The sugar industry is a beneficiary of the ethanol bonus, and he says removing that subsidy could mean the end of the ethanol industry.
Based upon this one report that's come out of the bureaucracy in Canberra, we run the risk of killing off the ethanol industry per se and potentially killing off the development of a mature ethanol industry going forward. I don't think that's in the national interest.
Well, 2014 is the year of the horse and it's helping.
Well, Tasmania had its annual thoroughbred yearling sale this week at Inveresk in Launceston. They grossed more than $1 million in sales, and prices were up 12% on last year. So that's good for the horse breeders there. But what is very interesting in this Chinese year of the horse is that a dozen of the colts and fillies were bought by Chinese interests and are heading for mainland China. So China doesn't actually have a thoroughbred racing industry, or at least mainland China does. We know about Hong Kong. So there is a lot of potential there, and the industry was surprised, pleasantly surprised, at the Chinese interest. Magic Millions Managing Director Vin Cox says it was a very interesting development and it lifted the overall prices at the sale.
Mainland China, it's the great frontier, the great unknown, and every breeding jurisdiction in the world is trying to attract Chinese investors to buy their horses and to have them here operating at a very good level in Tasmania is very, very exciting news.
Well, the ethanol industry might be struggling, but the wind farms keep growing.
The biggest wind farm in Australia has been approved this week by the South Australian government. It's based near Ardrossan on the York Peninsula. It's going to cost $1.5 billion and it's going to have 197 turbines. That's a pretty big deal. And Chris Judd from Senvion Australia, which is the company behind the project, says it's going to get around some criticism that the firefighters wouldn't be allowed near this wind farm, and some of the local farmers have been very concerned about that. But he says that's not true. You will be able to fight fires if the area around the turbines catches alight.
CFS don't have any great issues with wind farms. If we're talking about aerial means to address fires, water dumping, etc., they can continue to fly. They just need to obviously recognise that there is a physical structure there, subject to flying conditions, visibility, etc. They can work around that infrastructure.
Now, I got diddly squat for Valentine's Day, but there were some lucky ladies around the country.
Yes, well, if your partner is earning big money, you might expect a big gift. And we had a chat to some of the fly-in, fly-out miners and oil rig workers and gas rig workers that were leaving Karratha in the Pilbara yesterday. Their shifts had finished at the right time. They were heading home for Valentine's Day. A lot of workers, of course, will miss Valentine's Day as they miss birthdays and Christmas and all sorts of things. But those who were going home said they had special things planned, all sorts of things in their mind. One of them was Tony Nichols. He's from Launceston in Tasmania, but as he left Karratha Airport, he said he was looking forward to surprising his wife back home.
Well, I don't have much time to plan because we've just got off the vessel, and when I get home, hopefully the cab driver would be diverting to the florist I normally go to, and it should be getting 12 big red roses. Yes.
And helps the flower industry too.
It does indeed. Tony Allen, thank you so much. Tony Allen with this week's Rural News. Rural Reporter is next.